Good morning. We'll call the meeting to order. And we have a quorum. First order of business is to approve on March 9th minutes. Representative Pennis moves approval of the minutes. Any additions or corrections? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Minutes are approved. Members who also, have these been passed out? Okay, in your package you'll find a spreadsheet for the capital bonding. And so that's, you'll be able to track and see as to what actions we have taken and what has been included in the bill. The overall, the far right hand column will be the committee recommendations. And the and we also try to show what was presented to the committee as well as what was approved by the committee. So any questions on that, let me know. That will be presented to the Capital Investment Committee this afternoon. First bill up is House File 1166, Representative Hackbarth.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move House File 1166, recommended pass, and be referred to the Committee on Taxes.
Okay, Representative Hackbarth moves House File 1166, referred to Taxes. Representative Hackbarth, do you have an amendment you also want to deal with?
I will hold off on the amendment for now.
Okay. Very good. Would you like to explain the bill?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, as you all know, this bill's been around for a number of years. I'll give you a little bit of history. It was originally started out as a 1/8 bill for game and fish. And it was a constitutional amendment to be submitted to the voters. And it's dedicated money that would go to game and fish. And over the years, a number of people carried this bill in the House, the Senate, Senator Lessard, Representative Holston in the House, had been trying to get this bill passed for many years. It's grown into what you now see before you, where parks and trails, and thanks to Representative Osment, the clean water portion of the bill, the impaired waters. And this bill has been in the policy committee. I think everybody kind of knows what's in the bill. We've added a walk-in program to the Heritage Enhancement account where a certain portion of that money would be set aside for a walk-in program, money that would be given out to private landowners to create a walk-in program where people could go on to private property and hunt on that property. So that's pretty much the bill before you. I can explain individual sections if you like. I can talk about percentages. We can talk about all those things if you like.
Members, this is the same bill that we had in environmental policy where we had a detailed description there. Are there any additional questions you may have on the bill itself? And otherwise, we'll just go right to testimony. Okay, Representative Hackbarth, would you like to proceed?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think at this time, if there's people that want to speak for or against the bill, I think there's a number of people that would like to speak in favor of the bill. If you just want to bring up people opposed, that would be okay. Or if you just want to bring, you know, it's up to you, Mr. Chairman. We'll leave it up to you. I don't know how much testimony you want to take.
Well, I think that we should see as to what issues people have on their minds. If there's any who would like to speak for the bill at this point, and then that they have something like committee members to know. Keep in mind, we're at the policy committee, so many of us have heard testimony on this, so try not to repeat everything.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Morning. For the record, my name is Lance Ness. I'm the president of the Fish and Wildlife Legislative Alliance and one of the main supporters of the bill before you today. We support 1166. I just wanted to quickly talk a little bit, since this is the Finance Committee, and there was an article in Sunday's Minneapolis Star and Paper, Star and Trip, called Angling for Growth. It talks about the Gander Mountain stores that are in Minneapolis, based here in Wisconsin. And in the corner of that, they talked about the overall sales of hunting and fishing, hunt, fish, and camp gear. And this is national rankings, but I just wanted to read these into the record. In 2002 sales, Walmart was $3.3 billion. Cabela's, $1.1 billion. Bass Pro Shops, $880 million. Gander Mountain, $357 million. Sports Authority, $250 million. REI, $200 million. Hunting and fishing is a big industry. A lot of us have taken for granted the fact that we live here in the land of 10,000 lakes and 92,000 miles of rivers and streams. This bill is an effort to protect those for future generations. It's not for those of us here today. It's for those of us that come tomorrow. I'll stop with my comments there, Mr. Chairman, and the effort of time. I know others want to speak.
Thank you very much. Representative Cox.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Ness, when the bill was first introduced, it was in a somewhat different form, which I consider to be a somewhat more honest form, which is it asked people supporting this bill, and I did at that time. I was had signed on as a co-author to kind of pay for what they're asking for, to say, particularly knowing the terrific budget deficit that the state was in last year and still has not come out of, that people who are asking for additional programs to be spent from the general fund at the time that we were cutting back on programs ought to take on the responsibility of paying for them. And then we also saw in the passage of many referendums throughout the area that people seem to be willing to pay for more open space. So the bill as originally introduced was added a 0.25% sales tax. The people who were voting yes knew, and particularly the enthusiasts who were spending all that money at those various stores, knew that they would be spending a little bit more money for this better experience. What happened to that version of the bill, and why are we now in this, what I consider to be a less financially responsible version of the bill?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kahn, I've been at this for quite a while. This has almost been 8 years I've been working on this particular legislation. When we first started this legislation, we were in the surplus. The state was in the surplus. And so we thought, again, that this was an all right situation because we had a surplus. The current form is taken out of the base, and is from our groups, we don't care if it comes out of the base or if you would like to make it an add-on tax. For sportsmen, sportsmen have always paid their way. If you look at our licenses, on the back of every license is a surcharge to acquire lands. We pay for duck stamps, pheasant stamps. Our taxes go for federal funds such as Walt Perot and Dingle Johnson. The sportsman has always taxed himself. We've always put our money where our mouth is. All we're asking is that we spread this out amongst all the citizens of the state, that they also enjoy our benefits of clean water, hunting and fishing, wild game, parks and trails, zoos, and clean water. So that's what we're looking for. And we think it benefits all citizens of Minnesota. And if it comes out of the base, we think that's appropriate. If you would like to change it and add it 1/8 or 1/4 on top, that's okay with us too.
Well, Mr. Chairman, you know, I think 8 years ago when there was a surplus, it probably was appropriate to decide how we're going to deal with that surplus. But right now, I'm talking to constituents who can't work, who can't get to visit aged parents because the bus, we're not giving appropriate support for, basically, for health care for people who don't make a lot of money. We're cutting down payments on nursing homes. We've removed support payments for people. After saying that we wanted to have more people working, because of the financial problem of the state, we've cut into the ability for those people to work. We've cut out child care. We've cut out personal care assistance. I have people I know who have talked to me who are in wheelchairs who can't, you know, it's not only that they can't get to hunt and fish, they can't even get outside to get to a park now because their personal care assistant has been cut out. And all this is because we're in a different financial system. And under those circumstances, it just seems to me to cut further into that base just seems, you know, manifestly unfair, as opposed to saying, okay, if we want to put more money into this, then we ought to charge ourselves a little bit more. And I was much happier with that form of the bill. So, you know, maybe the author is the person who ought to be asked about it, but, you know, I know from talking to my constituents, they're very concerned about the cutting into the base with this bill, but would be very happy to support the other form of the bill.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Khan. In the same time, in the same article, I'll just read you this one caption. And this is during the same time period that we're talking about. Gander Mountain annual sales has grown steadily over the past 4 years, more than doubling from $1.74 million at the end of 1999 to $3.57 million in the year 2003. This we view as an investment. If you invest in what we're talking about, hunting and fishing, clean water, parks and trails, we will fill the deficit. We'll fill it with jobs. We'll fill it with people coming here because they want to come and fish and hunt here. They'll buy licenses. They'll stay in our parks. They want to come here because we're going to have clean water. We're going to have the best natural resources base in the lower 48 states. That's what we're going to have. It's going to drive an economic force. We're going to bring money in. And with that money, those taxes that come in will then be spread out amongst all these other programs that you're looking for. Health and arts and transportation and health care, and I can't go on. But you need the tax base. You need to drive the tax base. By driving the tax base, you'll get the additional taxes back that you can use for other programs. This is an economic force. It's an investment. It's not going to happen tomorrow. But in a few years, we'll turn it around. We'll fill that whole deficit with money. We'll do it with hunting and fishing money. We'll do it with parks and trails money. We'll do it with clean water money.
Well, Lance, you're on a roll.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a really good philosophy. We also heard that that was going to happen with all the tax cuts that we were doing. And what's happened is that the hole has gotten deeper and deeper. And again, I don't disagree with what you're saying, but if that's so, the addition makes as much sense as the cutting apart of something which has already caused us tremendous problems.
Again, we support either way, either out of the base or on top of it, whichever way the legislature decides to do it. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Are there other testifiers?
Mr. Chair, committee, for the record, my name is John Schroers. I'm a vice president of the Minnesota Outdoor Heritage Alliance. And I seem to follow Lance a lot, and quite often I seem to be echoing him lately. But again, economics. I make a point on economics that made a little article dropped in my lap this morning. We've got a lawsuit, I guess, for the Attorney General's office is suing North Dakota on the Minnesota-North Dakota hunting situation. Different issue, but there's some parallels here. On page 10 of the front page of the Minneapolis Star-Trib, they quote some numbers here. Recent North Dakota State University study showed that non-residents spend nearly $21 million on duck hunting in 2001-2002. And that's about a $7.5 million less than a resident of North Dakota. And the overall economic impact on the state of non-resident hunters in the state found that and estimated that was estimated to be about $78.5 million. Now that's Minnesotans, Wisconsinites, Iowans, people from all across the nation going to North Dakota specifically to hunt ducks. You've heard me testify in other committees on this issue. We are farming out our hunters, our waterfowlers in particular. That's an economic deficit to us. We're not capturing those dollars when they go out of state. It points to the situation that we are in here in Minnesota. And as a waterfowler, I primarily point to the waters. Waters is the core issue to me. We've got troubled waters. We're not retaining waterfowl in this state. We're not breeding waterfowl in this state. And we're losing our hunters. That's an economic hole that we're creating here. It's very important to me, not only as an individual who enjoys the outdoors and participate in my outdoor pleasure, my family relies to a certain extent on this economy. We're in the art business in Shakopee, Minnesota. I can't tell you how much how many years we've been framing wildlife art for the local nonprofits to the tune of about $10,000 a year at a wholesale price. Pheasants Forever, Waterfowl Association, Ducks Unlimited, all the banquets at this time of year, we're framing artwork for their banquets for fundraising purposes. If I was to charge them retail, that could be $20,000 a year. Personally, there's an impact there for me. If we're losing our folks to outstate, out of state, that's affecting me personally. There's a real need here. So, to kind of summarize this, whether it's outer base or new money, MOHA supports the concept. We need to capture our money. Can't ship this out of state. We've got to stop that. We've got to do our best to revitalize our waters and our soil, and everybody benefits. And with that, I'll end my comments, and thank you, Mr. Chair.
Are there any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, my name is Judy Erickson, and I'm Government Relations Director for the Parks and Trails Council. And I won't repeat all of my testimony from previous committees, but just want to lend our support to this effort today. As you know, from the activities and the work that you've had to do the last several years, our parks and trails have been on a slippery slope of budget cuts that not only impact our quality of life, but our tourism economy. And the legislation before you does reflect the LCMR Park Study Group work that was done last summer, and Mr. Chair was led that effort, and Representative Tinglestad did a lot of work on that as well. So I would just reaffirm that looking at the work that that study group did is reflected in this legislation. The other thing I want to bring to your attention is the health care aspect that at Parks and Trails, we have been working with Blue Cross Blue Shield, Be Active Minnesota, Cancer Society, and others. And there is an emerging body of evidence that shows that if we provide outdoor recreation opportunities, whether it's at parks or trails or hunting and fishing, does lend itself to reducing our long-term health care costs. According to the Minnesota Department of Health, physical inactivity is costing Minnesota nearly $500 million each year. So this legislation, in providing opportunities and continuing investments in our outdoor recreation system, our hunting and fishing, will pay off in terms of reduced long-term health care costs. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'll just conclude.
Okay. Other questions? Are there any questions? Thank you very much. Additional testifiers for the bill? Are there any testifiers opposing the bill? You want to be for the bill?
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. I'm Mark Tenike, and I represent the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy. I also won't repeat our prior testimony on this bill, but I'm here to strongly support the bill. Both the habitat part of the bill and the water quality part of the bill are of great concern to our organization, MCEA. You haven't heard much this morning about the water part of the bill, but it is it will support a very important outcome of a group of stakeholders, really folks from pretty much every perspective on this question, from the Chamber of Commerce to the counties, to the cities, a number of environmental groups, the G16. At the Finance Committee meeting, I read through the list of names, but it's a group that's met for the past year, really, and put together a very solid program that everyone is in support of on the policy side to clean up our impaired waters. We have a growing list of polluted water in Minnesota, and I don't think there's any disagreement that polluted water is not good for the future of our state, for the future of our economy, for the future of our outdoor recreation. So the water part of this bill is a very important part. It has at the policy level consensus support. There's disagreement. Not all of the G16 support this funding mechanism, but we do. MCEA does support this bill. Thank you.
Any questions from members? Thank you very much for your testimony. Is there anyone else to testify? Any opposition to the bill? Looks like you got a great bill there, Representative Hackburn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Kahn.
Mr. Chairman, I have an amendment to the bill that I think would make it a little bit greater.
Okay.
So I think the committee committee administrator has the amendment.
You have the amendment? Chair amendment? While that's being passed out, I'd like to thank Representative Hackbarth for his drafting of the bill and including the water quality issue. As you know, water is very needed for habitat and wildlife and the quality of Minnesota and our sporting activities. So I think it's a good match. We also have the Impaired Waters Program that needs some funding so we can be aggressively going after cleaning up the water. So I'd really appreciate that. Also need to need a coalition that will kind of fight off those that will want to kind of pile on, because this is the kind of issue that people say, well, what about mine too? So,
well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and to talk a little bit about the Clean Water Fund. Some people are saying that, you know, this isn't as much money as the G16 came up with, but you have to keep in mind too that the G16 plan was a 10-year plan at $75 to $100 million, and they were just more or less kind of picking that figure out of the air. And this actually puts more money into the Clean Water Fund because it's spread out over 20 years at about about $60 million.
Okay. Representative Kahn, you want me to move want to move the amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move the amendment to the bill, and I'd also like to have a roll call vote on the amendment.
Yeah. Amendment H. 4166A2 is moved by Representative Kahn. Roll call has been requested. Representative Kahn.
Mr. Chairman, this is in response to talking to constituents at the caucuses and talking to people who have called me about this issue, who are in deep support about all of the issues that are raised by Representative Hackbarth. But they're also very concerned about the fact that as soon as you cut into one part of the state budget, as soon as you set aside one part, that means you're cramping or cutting back. You know, money is fungible, but there's only a certain amount of it. So as soon as you take the cut for one thing, that means you're automatically cutting back on another part. And one of the things that we're most concerned with, that my constituents, again, are most concerned with, is what's happening in our education system. We had a specific problem in my area with the proposed cuts to the Minneapolis school budget and the closing of schools, including some absolutely terrific schools. And if we're talking about exercise and health and outdoor activity, it was one of the schools which had the highest percentage of kids walking to that school of any school in the city in terms of dealing with the obesity problems and the exercise problems. At my granddaughter's school, which I'll start out by admitting is not in this state, when I visited and I saw their physical education class, I was told that this was one of the few schools that actually had a physical education teacher in an elementary school, and it was only because it was a district that had enough parental concern that the parents had gone and raised the money to keep physical education in the school. Now, I don't precisely know that that's happened in every school in Minnesota, but I know that it's happened in many. I know that we've had the problems of physical education being taken out of the standards. And I just think that this is really important. I would, and again, I pay my share. I would guess that the amount of money I've spent on sporting materials at the various stores and places that sell it, probably in this year, I don't think we should all have to put our tax receipts out, but I'll bet mine exceeds that of anyone on this committee. And we'll talk about it. And so I think this just adds, I think this will enhance the chance of passing the Representative Hackbarth's amendment when it goes to the voters, because I think people will be far more comfortable being able to vote for two of these amendments, setting aside another chunk for education, which I would, we could then have an argument about what that means to the economic development of the state, at the same time, so that they'll know that what they're cutting apart for the things recommended by Representative Hackbarth will not be, you know, that will also have a similar effort on the part of education. Excellent.
Representative Hackbarth.
Mr. Chairman, well, I would oppose the A2 amendment, of course, and, you know, I would say that this committee knows, and being a finance committee, and in general, I think all legislators know that the largest portion of our budget, state's budget, goes to education now. And the reason that this bill is here and has been here over the years is because, as this committee also knows, the environment and natural resources and hunting and fishing don't seem to get as large a piece of pie as the other divisions. And that's why this bill is here. And that's why we're moving forward on this, to dedicate some money to trails and zoos and parks and hunting and fishing and for this clean water program. So I would oppose the A2 amendment on those basis, and I would stand for any other questions on why I might oppose it.
Representative Kahn, the education is already provided for in the Constitution. It is an essential service that we are really mandated to provide. I think that the proposal that is before us, that actually is before Environment Committee, is asking for some fairness with regard to how we deal with our wildlife and habitat and water issues, which very often can get pushed off the table when we are dealing with essential services such as education and health care, items that really do not get neglected by the legislature at all, but the items that are in the bill do get neglected. But Representative Kahn, this is an education issue that you're bringing forward. This is an Environment Committee. Would you explain to me why this amendment should be in order?
Yes, it is in order, because I think it enhances the other part of the amendment. I think putting both of them before the voters, so one can argue that we're not going to cut into education, is a positive step. And when you look at, you know, this bill was taking a strange path. I think if it had gone to government operations after it had gone to this committee, I would have been perfectly happy to offer the amendment. And that's the usual path. Government operations is really the last step. But this is, as I said, I think we need this, because otherwise, the argument against the amendment is going to be so strong, and maybe not in the legislature, but when it gets out to the general public, that it will, you will have people feeling very, very uncomfortable about it. And this helps make people a little bit more comfortable. And besides that, the
Representative Kahn, I'm going to rule that your motion is out of order. This amendment's out of order. We're dealing with environmental issues here. This is education. I'd have to rule the same way with regard to transportation or any other issues that you bring up that do not relate to the environment in this committee. So I rule that your amendment is out of order.
Mr. Chairman, I hate to do this, but I'm going to appeal the ruling of the chair and ask for a roll call vote on that.
Thank you. Representative Kahn makes a motion to appeal the ruling of the chair and requests a roll call vote. Questions on that motion? Representative Wagenius, I think you had your hand first.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to be recognized before you ruled it out of order, because here's my worry that if this amendment, without Representative Kahn's amendment, went before the voters will know that this coming biennium, when we come back in the legislature next year, we'll be facing over $1 billion deficit again. And they will be worried about their schools, because they've already seen the cuts in schools. And they will be worried that we'll see more teachers' cuts. They will be worried that more things will be cut besides physical education. So what you will be doing is setting up moms and dads against our folks that are outdoors. And we don't want that to happen. We want it to happen that they are two winners and not a winner and a loser. Because people will hear that this is a huge deficit. This takes, what, how much out of the general fund?
$170 million.
A year. And so that would be a biennium. It's $340 a biennium. So you put that on top of a billion-plus deficit. I think it splits our electric. And that's not what you want to do. So I think that it is not only in order, it helps it pass.
Representative Guinea said the point that I'm trying to make is this is not an issue that should be before this committee. You have other forums that you will be coming up to in the floor of the House to present this issue, which would be an appropriate forum. This is the Environment Committee and Environment Finance, and it's not where we should be looking at having amendments on education. That's my point. That's the reason why I ruled it out of order. And I'm surprised that I'm being challenged on that point.
Only way to get
to Representative McNamara.
I'm sorry, Tip.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just ask fellow members to uphold the rule of the chair. I'm not comfortable making a decision about K-12 education. I don't serve on that committee and don't feel comfortable and absolutely don't feel that it would be appropriate for us to be including that here. We've had no discussion about that or anything. So I would just ask fellow members to uphold the ruling of the chair.
Representative Hoppe, did you have a point you want to make?
Not a very good one. I'll pass.
Representative Tinglestad? Representative Tinglestad?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like you to just clarify what a yes or no vote means on this next vote.
Representative Kahn.
We have fresh enough.
I think a yes vote upholds the ruling of the chair, and I mean a no vote.
The ruling chair. And so we'd be, I would be encouraging people to vote aye. Any other questions on this surprise motion? Okay, clerk will take the roll.
Chair Osmond?
Aye.
Representative Cornish?
Aye.
Representative Deal?
Aye.
Representative Heckford?
Aye.
Representative Hoppe?
Aye.
Representative Kahn?
No.
Representative Kuhnman?
Aye.
Representative Lindgren?
Aye.
Representative McNamara?
Aye.
Representative Pennant?
Aye.
Representative Tinglestad?
Aye.
Representative Leganius?
No.
And Representative Wesley?
Aye.
Eleven ayes, two nays. The ruling of the chair is upheld. Okay, Representative Hepburn.
I would renew my motion that House File 1166 be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Taxes.
Okay, you've heard the motion. Representative Wiginius.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I want to talk about what Representative Hackbarth's chief issue is, that the environment is not getting its fair share of the pie, and its fairness is how the pie is divided. And Representative Hackbarth, I agree with you. The environment has really suffered in these recent years, and it suffered under the last budget. And as one of your witnesses said, the thing that is suffering the worst is waters, and we've got to revitalize our waters. So when I looked at how you divided this environment pie, I am very concerned. So I wondered if you had a list, and I've been starting to draw it up, I've been starting to work on it, of the need of fish, wildlife, and habitats versus the need of parks, trails, and zoos versus the need of waters. So that in this bill, we could have the proportionality or the fairness in dividing the pie that you are advocating for the general fund. And when I do that, it looks to me that this amendment says that habitat is far more important than taking care of our waters. And that's a fairly easy argument to for us to make, and as a finance committee, it seems to me we should have some real breakdowns on this. But when I look at the 10-year accelerated wildlife acquisition goal, it's $22 million a year. And then there are lots of things we need for fisheries, et cetera. And we get, you know, $20, $30 million a year. Yet under your amendment, we get $64 million a year for habitat. Then I look at waters on the other side, and I can list to you the things that we're not doing in waters. We're not monitoring our groundwater anymore. We're not even talking about it in committee. We're not monitoring our lakes and streams, but once every 67 years. We didn't really talk about that in committee. We had no solution for that. Just the groundwater and water monitoring and checking to see if the water under the metropolitan area that we're drawing up now for drinking is sustainable would probably eat up half, at least half, probably much more than half of the water money that you have proposed. So that's nothing for some of the issues like restoring our impaired waters, which is $600 to $3 billion a year. And that's just for this little segment of it. We have been talking about 10,000 impluded waters by 2014. So if I look at the proportionality here, waters gets a tiny fraction of what is needed, and habitat probably gets more than is needed. And so what is the message that we're giving to the public? Your drinking water is important. Your swimming hole's not important. I think, Mr. Chairman, we need to do some math on this bill and to do some serious math, and that's not ready yet, that we should spend some committee time. We should spend some committee time looking at what would be bought versus what is the need. And we look at it in terms of fish, wildlife, and habitats, and we look at it in parks, trails, and zoos, and we look at it in terms of waters. And we check the proportionality of this measure. Because in my first crack at it, it's way out of whack. And yet Minnesotans deserve a little bit better math from us. So I would ask that we have some testimony and have Mr. Reinholz get some numbers for us and list out what is the need over the next 10, 25 years for habitat, fish, et cetera. What is the need over the next 10, 25 years for parks, trails, and zoos? And do the same for waters. And then we as a finance committee will have the math to know whether or not we're proportional. And how close we are to the proportional in this bill. So I would ask that you would just hold this and ask our council to work on it for a little while and bring it back.
Chairman
Hackberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Wagenius, you know, this bill wasn't intended to fix every problem that the state has when it comes to game and fish and natural resources and the environment. There wouldn't be any need for this committee in years to come if we had one bill that solved all those issues. We wouldn't have to have this committee. And this bill was never intended to do all those things, but it is intended to get at many of those things. And when you talk about proportionality, we've got $60 million for the Clean Water Fund. And then when you talk about the Heritage Enhancement Fund, those funds are going to be used in a way that I believe they're going to be protecting some of the wetlands. It's going to include saving some, setting aside some portions of land and for hunting and fishing, which in turn also helps save and conserve our natural resources. So I think what you can take a chunk of that money and say, you know, there's going to be, and it's going to be impossible to figure out. I don't know how you do that. But I think everybody knows that if you're conserving land and you're providing wildlife habitat for hunting and fishing, that that's also going to be protecting our waters. So the same with the parks portions. They're going to be doing the same kinds of things. I think all of that helps conserve our land and our waters, and everything together in this package is going to help in that regard. But it's not going to solve all our problems.
And to the comments that it's out of whack, I believe that the House file proposal has 38% going to the habitat type of activities, 27% is parks and trails, and 35% is clean water fund. And the clean water fund, of course, is being established to deal with impaired waters, which hits on every point that you said, Representative Wagenius, needs to be addressed. And so this is approximately $60 million that will be going towards those efforts. So a vote against this bill really is a vote against providing that type of an opportunity to the citizens of Minnesota to provide or dedicate that kind of money towards cleaning up Minnesota waters. Representative Wagenius.
Mr. Chairman, I am not opposed to cleaning up Minnesota waters, and I don't think you need to imply that. My question is, we don't know, and this is a finance committee, and this is where we should find out, exactly what the need is in each of these areas. And this is a finance committee, and we could, and I think staff is very competent, and probably in a couple of days, could get the total needs in each area. When I look at the water's need and just do the math in my head, let me tell you how I come up with it. I think of testing all the waters. Now, just testing surface water is probably close to $10 million a year, $8 to $10 million a year. We do not test groundwater in Minnesota anymore, even though it's statutorily required. We don't know if the water we're using under the metropolitan area is sustainable at the rate we're using it, or if we continue to sink wells. We should be finding all those things out. My guess is that that's somewhere between, it's way above $30 million a year. We don't know that. We should find out. That would only leave a half $30 million a year for cleanup. Yet we know our cleanup just in the surface waters alone is going to be between $600 million and $3 billion just for the ones that have been identified. Then there are all the ones that staff, PCA says we're going to have 10,000 polluted waters by the year 2014. So I'm just starting to do the math. It doesn't take into consideration the wastewater treatment systems or the sewer systems that we know we need in order to address the impaired waters. When I add up all of that, I am getting into the way into the billions of dollars. And so what Representative Hackbarth, I believe, is proposing is something about 10% of what we'll need. Yet if I look at habitat and do the same kind of math, I think he's providing about 200 and some percent of what we'll need. We need to look at this pie and make sure we're dividing it right. This is the Finance Committee. This is where this needs to be done. And so I would ask us, before we go to the voters, to be able to tell the voters exactly what this means. Is Buttocks going to be shortchanged or not? And I believe it is at this point. I think we should do the math, so we know what is going to happen to our waters and whether our waters are well served under this bill. I mean, I can certainly do the math and do it in ways and means, but I think it would be much better if this committee did the math and looked at the map. I think it's this committee's responsibility, and not Ways and Means, and not my responsibility.
Representative Wagenius, this committee's been doing the math for years, and we've always known that the environment comes up short.
This particular
proposal actually states that this money will supplement the traditional sources of funding, so we're asking for additional dollars regardless of what your math may show you. And we also have had extensive testimony with regard to impaired waters. It says we need between $75 and $100 million on impaired waters eventually to cover that area. This is an excellent start of $60 million to get us going. And I'm going to have a roll call vote. And we would like to have those that are going to be supportive of protecting the waters and taking some steps forward to vote yes. Those that want to be opposed to that provision, go ahead and vote no. Representative Kahn.
Chairman, I'm a little concerned for people who, many people on this committee who profess their dislike of big government, is the expansion of government that I see in this bill with these two separate councils, and I don't see, is there any limit on the administrative expenses of these? Where is the limit on the administrative expenses spent by these two councils in the bill?
Representative Hackford.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if Mr. Reinholz can answer that question for us, maybe. I don't know.
Mr. Chairman, members, on page 4, on the subdivision 1 on line 26 that established the Heritage Enhancement Account, the language in paragraph B indicates that 72% must be spent on specific projects, and in paragraph C that 25%, the effect is at least 3% administration out of the Heritage Fund maximum.
What about the, Mr. Chairman?
Representative Kahn.
What about the Clean Waters Fund, Council?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kahn, I don't believe that there's equivalent language in that for the Clean Water Council, but I don't believe that the Clean Water Council has any authority to expend dollars either. That the Heritage Council definitely does have the authority to hire staff and spend dollars. But the Clean Water Council itself, my reading, John's not here, but my reading of the language does not give that council authority to expend dollars. The dollars that are in that fund would be expended, appropriated by this committee of the legislature, so the decision on admin would be made when that was appropriate.
And as I understand it, Representative Kahn, those dollars would be going towards impaired waters, a program that has the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency is operating under.
Mr. Chairman, where are the dollars allocated by the Heritage Enhancement Fund also appropriated by the legislature?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kahn, yes. And if recommendations come to the Heritage group to the legislature.
Representative Hackford, would you just explain what's the reason that supposedly these are balanced in importance for the two different structures of the advisory councils? They're given the same name. They're both called councils.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kahn, the Heritage Enhancement Council, this was language that's been in the bill for quite some time. The impaired waters portion, the Clean Waters Fund, was... the council, we took the language right out of the G16 recommendation on how they wanted the council set up.
Which we've had extensive testimony on in this committee. Representative Wagenius.
Representative Osment, you stated that a vote against this bill would be a vote against waters, and I think a vote against this bill is a vote for waters, because this bill shortchanges waters as it is written. And what will happen is everything else will get funded. We are facing a deficit in the general fund, so we will see cuts in the environment again. The waters will be cut, just as it has been over the past years. And proportionately, we need to be fairer, and we know what we're not doing in our waters. The list is huge. The list is long. This
is a drop in the bucket.
Representative Lagunias, $60 million is a pretty good drop. Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I just have a question for the author. I really appreciate you and I have talked about this bill a lot, and I appreciate the fact that you were willing to consider the waters. I'm one that absolutely our most precious resource, natural resource in Minnesota is our waters. And I just want to clarify, in your bill, about $50 million would go for waters. Is that true, Representative Hackbart?
Mr. Chairman, Representative McNamara, it's about $60 million.
About $60 million. And if we don't pass your bill, how much money will be dedicated for waters next year if your bill does not pass?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative McNamara, we don't have a plan put in place for that, so there won't be any money until we pass something else that might do that.
Okay, so if nothing else passes and this bill does pass, we get $60 million.
Correct.
But if nothing passes, again, Representative Hackbart, how much money will we get?
Nothing until we pass another legislation.
There won't be any dedicated money
no.
for waters if the bill wouldn't pass under we don't have any dedicated water. And the G16 had this study that showed how important the water is, and this is an opportunity for us to get $60 million. This is a good thing. Thank you, Representative Hackbart.
Representative Corner.
I was just, Mr. Chair, I was just going to say that I don't think the study is going to do us any good or hold us up for a study anyway, because we could put four bureaucrats on it and a bunch of computers and FTEs and come back in a year and the study would already be outdated. I mean, and it would tell us what we all know already. It would tell us that we'll never have enough money to take care of our needs. And so I think this is a moving target. The needs change every year and grow, and we could come up with a study exactly what we need, and it would change in a few years. And this is a long, ongoing project that we need the money for, and we can always adjust figures later. But to hold a study for up, hold the whole group up for a study, I just don't think would be practical right now. Not to go into it blindly, but there's no way we could do it 2 or 3 days. If you wanted to bring a bill, a needs and study bill or something on your own or for the next year to go over it and ask the DNR and the G16 and everybody else for facts and figures, that would be great. But to hold this process up, I don't see the practicality.
Okay. Representative Gaines.
Hi. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have much more confidence in Mr. Reinhold than you do. I think he could come up with this in several days. He certainly knows his business. Representative McNamara, I don't know how to answer your question or deal with your question, because you're assuming that the governor is not going to meet his promise to fully fund the impaired waters, which he said he was going to do and said he was going to do this year, but now he says he wants to do it next year. If this passes the way it's written, it seems to me the governor already took care of that, and you only need about a third of what I thought we were going to do. So are you assuming that the governor is not going to keep his promise?
Mr. McNamara, you can if you like.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And my point of the questioning, of it was just a question for Representative Hackbart. I wasn't getting involved with the governor. I wanted to be sure that this bill is going to put $60-plus million into waters, and if your bill doesn't pass, I'm not aware of another movement to put $60 million into water. And I agree with you, Representative Lagunias. You and I both know how important the water is. I couldn't argue that $60 million is more than zero. And it is not enough to settle all our problems, absolutely. But I learned long ago, you know, you take one step at a time, and this is a huge first big step. Thank you.
Clerk, to take the roll.
Mr. Chen.
Clerk, today we have other bills to go to, and if you got something,
I just want
a
one,
new point.
1 second. Respond to Representative McNamara.
The
$60 million, the way the bill is crafted, taking it away from sales tax instead of benefit, takes that money away from nursing homes, from education, from health services, etc. Just cutting it out, It's not a responsible vote for either us or for the people, the electorate.
Representative Kahn, every decision we make in this committee takes something away from those others. Clerk will take the roll.
Representative Luckman?
Aye.
Representative Cornish?
Aye.
Representative Hill?
Aye.
Representative Hackbar?
Aye.
Representative Hoppe?
Aye.
Representative Kahn?
No.
Representative Turner?
Aye.
Representative Lindgren?
Aye.
Representative McNamara?
Aye.
Representative Tennis?
Aye.
Representative Tinglestad?
Aye.
Representative Wilginius?
No.
And Representative Wadwood?
Aye.
Yes. 11 ayes, 2 noes. Bill passes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members.
Very welcome. Next House file up is House File 2153. Members, House File 2153 is my bill, and so I'll move that House File 2153 be recommended to pass and referred to the General Register. See, we have... We'll wait for... if people are going to leave the hearing room, that'd be great. If you're going to carry your conversations outside. This is a bill that's brought to me by individuals that have some cabins up on Horseshoe Bay. And I, as I understand it, we've had a situation where we've had over the years different decisions that have been made to allow for these cabins or lease properties around the state of Minnesota to be purchased. And for some reason, this particular, before these the transactions actually took place, this issue was withdrawn by the DNR, or that opportunity was withdrawn. And so I'd like to... have us deal with that issue at this time, and to really kind of give us a better understanding as to about the concerns, I would like to call Mr. Larry Berta and Andrew Berta and Beth Kirchhoff to the stand. And that if you would introduce yourselves for the records,
yes.
And and then explain the situation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I want to apologize. Number one, I got a cold and my voice is kind of scratchy. I'd also like to apologize when I see the important stuff that you're doing. My problem seems trivial, but this is our only hope and our only forum. And this is Beth Kirchhoff. She is the daughter of one of the leaseholders, the Shelburgs. My son Andrew, behind me, is a major in the Air National Guard over at the 133rd, and just returned from a tour in Iraq in July. Essentially, what's happened is we've been in a battle. I bought my particular cabin in 1970. The Shelburgs built their cabin. Mrs. Shelburg and a girlfriend built it personally 51 years ago. So it's been a long process, and we've been in a battle to try and purchase our lease. With all the other 1,800-some leaseholders that wound up getting a chance to purchase their leases. And after all those other leaseholders had that chance, we were told that we were not going to get the chance to purchase. In 1996, the Shelburgs tried to transfer their lease to their son, Steve, who is a naval reservist, and he shipped out to Iraq 3 weeks ago. He's one of the people that we're trying to, and my son and Beth here are three of the people we're trying to get allowed to have their names put on the lease so they can continue to use the cabins that we've had for so long. And the battle up to now really has not been fair, and we just we're six leaseholders now. We're down to three leaseholders because three of the leaseholders have given up their cabins, and we went through all the forums and we talked to all the people at the time in 1993. In 1993, a law was passed that prevented us from buying for 5 years. I have letters in the packets that you have before you from Senator Doug Johnson, Senator Sam Solon, and Representative Jaros assuring us that after 5 years, if the DNR did not have concrete plans for our lots, that we would be allowed to purchase them at that time. That was not allowed, and it hasn't happened. In fact, the DNR was directed at that time to come up with concrete plans, and if they, in the words of Senator Solon, if they didn't have those plans, they were going to be asked to sell, or they would have to sell us the land. We received a preliminary plan from the DNR that essentially said there is no plan for Horseshoe Bay in 1994. In a previous committee meeting on the Senate side, the DNR representative essentially said that they still don't have a plan for that, although they were directed to come up with one in 5 years. So what is fair? When the original sales happened, some of the leaseholders opted not to to buy the property but to continue on with leases. They were given leases that were 20 years and transferable. In other words, they could sell their property or they could transfer it to their children. We are simply asking that our children and our grandchildren be added to the leases. We're not asking for anything to change except that they would be able to continue using the cabins. If you look at the bottom of our summary sheet on the front, I cannot understand why there would be opposition to having our children and grandchildren on the lease. The school trust fund, which is what this land is, we continue to get our rent money every year. The Horseshoe Bay leaseholders are the ones that clean up the area. And if you want to look at the pictures underneath the summary sheet, you can see where the bay is located, about halfway between Grand Marais and the border, Canadian border. You can see that our cabins are fairly primitive. We all have outhouses. They're distance, a good distance from all of the leaseholders. We are the ones that maintain the trail down to the point. We report illegal activity. We provide upkeep and cleaning of the shoreline, which is public shoreline for 33 feet. There is a boat ramp there and a dock, and it has been there since 1982. The public has complete access to the water. We don't impede anything. Our lots are merely about 300 feet of a 2,700 foot shoreline in the bay. We are a positive influence there and good stewards of the land. Public camping, boating activities will continue unrestricted if we are allowed to have our children and grandchildren put on the lease. The bottom line, we're asking for your help because we're kind of up against a large bureaucracy to do what's fair, to help us, to allow us to have our children and grandchildren put on cabins that, in my case, that we've had in our family for over 34 years. I would like to introduce Beth. She has a short a letter from her parents who reside in the winter in Green Valley but spend their summers up in Horseshoe Bay.
Mr. Chair, members.
Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you. My name is Beth Kirchhoff, and I'm the daughter to Willis and Jereen Shelberg, who are one of the leaseholders on Horseshoe Bay. I really appreciate the opportunity to come before you today and I guess register my plea on behalf of my parents and my family. First of all, I'd like to say that I really do truly appreciate all the concerns that have surfaced around this bill. My purpose here today is not to do any name-calling or dredge up anything from the past. I would merely like to give you a brief history of the events so you have a better understanding of some of the frustrations that we have struggled with in the past. Back in 1886, a bill was passed authorizing the sale of all state leased land. Then between 1988 and 92, we received several letters from the DNR stating that we would have an opportunity to buy the property that my parents are now leasing. At that time, my parents expressed an interest in purchasing the land. This was followed up with a letter in 1992 from the DNR stating that they decided not to sell our lots and that they had a position on doing this all along. Then in October of 1992, the Cook County Board of Commissioners ruled in favor of leaseholders and their right to acquire ownership, which is part of your handout that you see in there. There is an article from the newspaper of the Cook County Herald stating that back in 1992. Then in 1993, a bill was passed delaying the sale of the Horseshoe Bay lots and requiring the DNR to come up with a plan for Horseshoe Bay, which was a five-year. It was our understanding they needed to come up with that plan within 5 years, as Mr. Berta had stated. To our knowledge, the DNR still does not have any formal plans for the property. In addition, we feel that this bill was passed in 1993 without the leaseholder's knowledge, and therefore we were not given the opportunity for appeal at that time. In the last couple of days, it has also been brought to our attention the DNR is requesting the Cook County Commissioners to support the Horseshoe Bay Development Plan of 1996, which calls for the expiration of all leases in year 2018. Currently, the leases are written as lifetime leases with no expiration date. The position of the DNR has not been clear, nor has it been clear in the past. On behalf of the leaseholders, I would like to say that during all of this struggle, we have continued to be good stewards of the land by maintaining a trail to the point, picking up trash in the public landing parking lot, and reporting any illegal activity that is witnessed. We should continue doing this as long as we have our lease, because we do appreciate the environment and are doing everything we can to maintain the wilderness appeal. With all of this said, we're merely asking for equitable treatment, just as other state leaseholders were given. I know that we're only three leaseholders and a mass of concerned citizens, but we hope that you will hear our plea and do what is fair and follow the precedents that has been set before us. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Questions of members? Representative Khan.
Mr. Chairman, I know it's always difficult when the state makes different land decisions than they had made in the past. And so in order to mitigate those decisions, the decision to grandfather owners is often made. So I certainly support grandfathering the owners. I certainly also support, and I can also see the rationale also of doing it, you know, extending it to the children. But once you start extending it to the grandchildren, you're looking at a very long time for what, since it was a lease, was considered to be a temporary reason. I don't know, it's your bill, Mr. Chairman. Wouldn't this be more reasonable if the grandfathering just went to the children and didn't extend to all those degrees of relationships that it does as written?
I think we may be addressing that in another few minutes, but I'd like to get some testimony from DNR also and find out what, because some of these statements.
That's just my question. Just the principle is I basically agree with the concept of grandfathering. I just think it goes too far in where how many people get allowed to transfer or get grandfathered into it.
Okay. Are there specific questions of the testifiers? Additional testimony, or we're ready to go to DNR?
Yeah.
Okay. Department of Natural Resources. Deputy Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Mark Holston, Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources.
I was wondering if you can explain the situation. I see that back in 1993, Representative Senator Doug Johnson and Senator Solem both had understandings that, and let me just read what they said, we were able to require the DNR report back to the legislature in 5 years. If they do not have immediate plans for the use of that property, to require that the sales be allowed at that time. Can you tell me why that the sales have not been allowed to take place on this particular property? I believe all other leases have been taken care of around the state.
Mr. Chair, I'll try to put things into context in terms of, as you know, with my recent history within the department, trying to assess a since 1985-86 problem that this legislature has been trying to deal with on lakeshore lease lots. You know, back in 1986, a bill passed the legislature that said to put the lakeshore lease lots up for sale in the state of Minnesota. And the Department of Natural Resources was given a timeline of roughly 5 or 6 years, I don't know the exact dates, to start that sale process. A lot of legal questions were brought up, this being trust fund lands, how the sales were to occur. A lot of other issues were brought up. Those sales took longer for the department to actually get started. Some sales did occur in that timeline, many did not. The extension was brought forward. Extensions were brought by the legislature on all of the remaining lease lots. The department has been consistent in Horseshoe Bay as one of these specific areas of the state that they did not want to see these lots sold. It is a very unique and special area on the lake, on Lake Superior, very far up on the North Shore, and that has led to some of the controversy. This has been a particular one where the department has continually asked the legislature not to sell. And timelines have been being pushed back, and that's created, quite frankly, as you can imagine, on those leaseholders trying to understand what's happening to them. It does create a lot of personal angst, and I recognize that and apologize for that. But this legislature has, over the years, been trying to deal with this particular one. In 93, a bill passed that directed the agency to figure out what it was going to do. The agency sat down with Cook County and made a determination that, one, the land should not be sold, and that was an agreement with the county, that the land not be sold and it stays in public ownership. The determination of what to do really provided the necessity in that 96 report that was provided to the legislature. Said that it really required the public, more public involvement to make a determination on that. So the leaseholders are correct. There is no formal process, or there's been no formal plan put together in what to do on this particular parcel beyond just some preliminary discussions of what to do. The public comment period or the public involvement to really sit down and take a look at this will be extensive. And trying to figure out how to provide the best and appropriate resources or the resources to this particular parcel and make it available. The 96 are available to the public for utilization. The 97 legislature, and again, now this is over 10 years of working on the Lakeshore lease lots, we have sold over 1,800, roughly 1,860 Lakeshore lease lots. Six remained out of all of those. And those six lots were on Horseshoe Bay on Lake Superior. The Department of Natural Resources bought out three of those leases, leaving the remaining three. The 97 legislature came forward and said, allow those people, agreed with not selling those three out of the 1,860 Lakeshore lease lots, came forward and said, don't kick them off. Allow those people to continue on with through their lifetime in the leasing program. To note that last year the legislature dealt with this issue again. The lease payments were set at 5% of the market value on these particular lots. That's the rate in which they make payment. The legislature came forward with a bill last year asking for those to be reduced from 5 to 2 because of the financial hardship that was placed upon the leaseholders being on fixed incomes to reduce those costs. And that the legislature did, and the department didn't oppose that, recognizing that they were coming to the end of that leasing period. And that's kind of where we sit today.
Representative Dill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to offer an oral amendment on page 2 of the bill. That's 2153 members. Right now, the bill is written a third degree of kindred, which would go all the way cousins, to the cousins and nephews, etc. I'd like to offer the following oral amendment. On line 3, strike the word third, and insert second, and after the word kindred, strike or first cousin. So it would read, must, or transfer on line 2, only once, and the transfer must be to a person within the second degree of kindred according to civil law. And that would be to the children. So that would accommodate, as I understand, Miss Kindred and any children that the Bertas and Shelberts may have. And that would be my amendment. And Mr. Chair, do you understand that amendment?
Yes.
Mr. Helen?
The amendment. We understand the amendment. Is there, what is the response from the leaseholders? First, I didn't know. Have you... You understand the amendment being proposed?
Mr. Chair, yes, sir.
What is your feeling on that?
The feeling is that that's acceptable to us. That's better than where we are now.
It sounds like it's consistent with your testimony, too, of what you really wanted to have as an outcome.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, to the amendment.
Can I get a response from DNR and see what their opinion is? And then
sure.
What's DNR's reaction to that amendment?
Mr. Chair, members, this... Mr. Chair, looking at these people in the face, we recognize the difficulty that you are now in. We've been faced with this, trying to look at these people and recognize the problems that's associated with this. This is public land. The legislature has spoken in the past that to allow these people to continue with their lease lots, the department is trying to figure out what to do. Do we invest a tremendous amount of public time and money to develop a plan that would allow the public to access this particular very special piece of land on the North Shore or not? By extending this out to the next of kin, you're extending this problem out to the next couple generations within the Department of Natural Resources and the legislature. The department will not be able to move forward with any type of significant plans to do anything with, to provide the public the type of access that it deserves on this piece.
Okay. Representative Dill.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the commissioner got just about everything. This is a real touchy subject with me because of what happened to our family up in Voyageurs National Park. We had a very similar set of circumstances here. Except we were threatened with condemnation rather than the expiration of a lease. And I would tend to agree. I think I heard the commissioner say that would just be so a long, long, long way out. And I think this is some relief to those families, looking them in the face. I think it's a good compromise, and that's the reason I made the amendment. And it isn't. I don't have a good. I'm unsettled about the whole thing.
Any questions on the amendment, Representative Kahn?
Well,
any consistent with what you had asked for?
What? No questions on the amendment.
Okay. The amendment is before us. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Bill is amended. Representative Kahn.
Could somebody explain, instead of the amendment, what all the language, changing the dates and so forth, what the effect of all of that is?
Who would like to speak to that, Mr. Berta or Mr. Helen? I don't know who.
I'm not sure, Mr. Chair, that I understand.
But asking about the change of dates, I think on page 1, line 15 is what you're referring to.
Yeah, there are a whole bunch of
you know, what the effect of changing, of amending the leases, what the effect is. Is this appropriate, the language in 8 and 9, that the lease rate shall be provided in laws 2003? I'm not sure what those are and how those fit in with what we're doing with other lease rates. Lease rates on other properties changing, why should these be no constant?
I believe, Representative Kahn, and please help me if I'm incorrect, but my understanding that these are the only leases that are left. And so the language has been crafted to deal with leases that are still out there. And that really narrows it down to just Horseshoe Bay. But that's the reason that the language is crafted the way it was. And if I'm incorrect in that, please state otherwise. But, okay, that cover it?
Mr. Chair,
Ms. Berta.
Senator Bach is the crafter of the language, and he did it on the basis of a similar situation that was passed a few years ago relative to a number of boathouses on Lake Vermilion. And so this was the language from a law that was passed to allow these boathouses, I'm not sure what the number is, there's quite a few, to continue to use those boathouses as well as to the third degree, and that was the language in that bill, and he just thought, since that was a precedent, he followed on. I'm not a legal expert, of course.
We're reaching the end of our committee time. Are there other questions that we have? Is there any testimony in opposition to this bill? Okay, I'd like to renew my motion and House File 2153 be recommended passed and referred to the General Register. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Hold it just a second. Representative Kahn had her.
I'll just say it after the vote. It's not relevant to the
okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Bill is passed. Rips and con.
Why is the answer that that's what the legislature did in the past and we're following that not give me a lot of comfort? Does anyone else give me?
Point made. Thank you very much, members. We have an important policy committee coming up. I know that they're going to start right on time because they have a very full schedule, and I think there are some special guests that they're going to be presenting to us with regard to Asian carp right in the beginning of that hearing.
That's right.
So I really appreciate
that.
We are adjourned.